talk to you about a portion of my PhD research that deals with determining the optimal infection temperature range for Pythium volutum, which causes Pythium root dysfunction. However, before we get into that, I'd like to tell you a quick little story about the disease and how it occurred in North Carolina. Since about 2002, we've observed a patch-like disease of creeping bentgrass. The symptoms appear as irregular patches of drought stress, wilt, or chlorosis, as you can see in this bottom picture. Most of the golf course superintendents of our state were interpreting this as basically a hot spot. And these things would range in size from 6 to 60 centimeters in diameter. However, if you leave it uncontrolled, so no fungicide applications made, the turf density dramatically declines and may eventually die. And basically, this is how it progresses. It goes from those irregular drought stress patches or wilt patches to this very irregular yellow foliar decline. So you can see the patches are quite large and has a distinct yellow-orange foliar color. Now again, if they don't apply a fungicide, this is what the disease will progress to. You see the foliage completely dies back to the soil surface, and you could see and this would greatly impede ball roll. Now based on these stand symptoms and what being observed in the crowns, this disease was diagnosed as take-all patch in North Carolina and across the Mid-Atlantic region. Part of the problem with that was take-all patch usually doesn't occur outside of the mountains in North Carolina. We could not find the pathogen, and any control recommendations for take-all patch didn't work. So that led us to believe that we were dealing with something else, and it really wasn't until a fortuitous, very hot, dry spring and fall of 2003 and 2004 that the initial wilt patches reappeared. Now basically, we saw very different symptoms. If we would go in and sample for the roots, this is what the root systems look like. Now at first glance, they may appear fairly healthy, but one of the things that stands out immediately is the root tips are very bulbous. And that's a sign of a dead root tip. The roots are completely devoid of root hairs, and there's this nice mild tan or buff color in the root system. Now, if you would amplify this under the compound scope, you would see the sexual structures of a fungus or a fungal-like organism called Pythium. And you can see here, these are the oospores that line the cortical tissue. Now, the symptoms and signs that I've described, again, aren't characteristic of take-all patch. They're characteristic of a disease described by Hodges and Colvin in 1985 called Pythium root dysfunction. Excuse me, I had a little too much to eat this morning. It was also subsequently described by Fengender Noden in Maryland and also by Kearns and Treadway in North Carolina. Now in North Carolina, Pythium volutum is implicated as the major causal agent of root dysfunction. And this was done by a collection of 80 isolates collected throughout the southeast. And from those 80 isolates, 58 were identified as Pythium volutum. And we did that through molecular and morphological characteristics. And these two pictures show the morphological characteristics of Pythium volutum. It has a very distinct lobate sporangia. This produces the motile zoospores, the swimming spores. And this is the sexual spore here, the oogonium. And it's surrounded by 4 to 5 male structures or antheridia. And one of the diagnostic features of this fungus is that one of the male structures of the antheridium coils around the oogonial stalk. Now, one of the key things in North Carolina that was different from what Hodges and Coleman and Fang and Durdoden were seeing is the symptoms typically appear in the summer. So in North Carolina, our bent grass is stressed severely, and that's when the symptoms typically develop. However, it's very difficult to isolate the pathogen during the summer or even see any activity as far as oospore production or hyphae production. That led us to believe that the pathogen is probably most active in the fall and spring. That's when we were most successful in our isolations and when we observed oospore production and hyphae production. And why is that important? Well, in North Carolina, the vast majority of golf courses with newly constructed putting greens have experienced some form of Pythium root dysfunction. And because we know very little about this pathosystem, they reported spending $10,000 to $20,000 a month to control the disease. So that was based on the misdiagnosis of take-all patch, and then now that we know very little, we know the pathogen, but we know very little about the epidemiology. And just to reiterate, the disease appears on newly constructed putting greens. So the owners have gone out, or the superintendents have gone out, convinced the ownership to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to renovate, you know, to alleviate all kinds of problems, and then within 12 to 18 months of opening, they're experiencing a new disease. And again, we know very little about the epidemiology. So we can't, all of our fungicide recommendations up to this research was based on an educated guess. So to shed some light on the epidemiology of this pathosystem, we wanted to determine the optimal temperature for Pythium volutum growth in vitro, and then try to relate that to the infection temperature range. And to do that, we wanted to determine the impact of soil temperature on infection of creeping bentgrass roots by Pythium volutum, and then evaluate the impact of Pythium volutum infections on creeping bentgrass root growth and survival and response to soil temperature. So to get at in vitro growth of Pythium volutum, we looked at 12 Pythium volutum isolates at the following temperatures: 10, 12, 14, 18, 22, 26, and 28 degrees C. And we did this by plating three-day-old Pythium volutum colonies onto into the center of a petri dish containing clarified VH used auger. Now, these plates were then placed in the separate dark incubators, and then colony diameter was measured after 24 and 48 hours, and each temperature was repeated four times over time. And here, this graph shows the results of the in vitro growth. 48-hour colony diameter is plotted on the y-axis, and incubation temperature is plotted on the x-axis. And what should stand out at you right away is this pathogen has a very, very wide growth range. It grows optimally from 10 to 28 degrees C. It appears that its optimal growth is between 18 and 22 degrees C in this case. So to relate that to infection temperature, we looked at infection of creeping bentgrass roots by Pythium volutum at the four following temperatures: 12, 16, 20, and 24 degrees C. We did this by seeding A1 creeping bentgrass into containers containing a USGA sand, and the plants were grown to maturity for 8 weeks in the North Carolina State Phytotron greenhouse at 22 degrees C during the day and 18 degrees C at night. Now, after 8 weeks, we would take the containers into the lab for inoculation. An inoculation was done by removing the entire plug from the container and cutting the root system off at a 5 centimeter depth. Then we would dump out the existing sand in the container and replace it with fresh sterilized sand. And on top of that fresh sterilized sand, we put our inoculum. Now, our inoculum was prepared using what they call the grass leaf blade method. So in there, in that petri dish, is sterile DI water with 5 to 7 autoclave creeping bentgrass leaves. And then in that concoction, we put three millimeter auger plugs of Pythium volutum and allow it to incubate under fluorescent light just at room temperature for 3 days. And then on top of the inoculum and the fresh sand, we would replace our existing turf plug. Then these were moved into separate growth chambers at the four infection temperatures I described previously, and they were allowed to infect for 4 weeks. We used 6 replications of 5 Pythium volutum isolates in an uninfested control. And then after 4 weeks at the various infection temperatures, temperature in each growth chamber was raised to 32 degrees C during the day and 26 degrees C at night. And again, that is to induce foliar symptoms. And then once foliar symptoms developed, we rated disease severity weekly based on the foliar symptoms. And then root mass and root depth were also measured prior to and after elevating the temperature. So we actually built in some extra replication so we could destructively sample prior to elevating the temperature. And then at the end of the experiment, all the containers were destructively sampled to measure root mass and root depth. And each infection temperature treatment was replicated 4 times over time so we could do a statistical analysis. And this graph shows the effects of infection temperature on Pythium root dysfunction severity. On the y-axis, we have an area under disease progress curve values. We calculated those just to simplify the data set, so I didn't show 25 graphs up here. And then on the x-axis is the infection temperature. And one of the things that should stand out to you right away is that in all 4 infection temperature treatments, significant disease activity occurred compared to the uninoculated controls, which are the blue bars. Now, it appears that the most disease did occur at 16, followed by 20, 24, and 12 degrees C. Now, one thing to keep in mind is this is only after the heat treatment was induced. Prior to inducing the heat treatment, no foliar symptoms were observed. And just to show you a couple images of what it looked like in each chamber, these pictures were taken 2 weeks after induction of the heat treatment. And you could see that the 12C treatment is much less severe than the 16, 20, and 24 degrees C. One thing you can note, the symptoms appear very rapidly. They appear within 2 weeks, and sometimes they appear over a weekend. Just to show you the pathogenicity of the five isolates that we used, basically there are no significant differences among any of the isolates utilized. But you can see a marked significance in the isolates and the uninoculated control. And then finally, the impact of Pythium volutum infections on root depth. Root depth is plotted here on the y-axis, and again, infection temperature on the x-axis. Prior to inducing the heat treatment, you could see that in general there wasn't any drastic reductions in root depth, even though 16C does show significant reductions compared to the other treatments. This wasn't consistently correlated with foliar symptoms, so we didn't see foliar symptoms develop prior to initiation of the heat treatment. However, after 4 weeks of the heat treatment, you could see drastic reductions in root depth, and this occurred for root mass as well, which I didn't show. And here are four images to show this. On the left, you have the first picture is 20 degrees C, the uninoculated control. Below that is the uninoculated control at 16 C. And you can see on the right, the inoculated at 20, and then the uninoculated, or the inoculated at 16. You see the marked decreases in root depth. So to conclude, the optimal temperature for in vitro growth of Pythium volutum appears to be between 18 and 22 degrees C. We are looking at some more temperatures to actually nail down the optimal growth really well. Pythium volutum infects creeping bentgrass roots when soil temperatures are between 24 and or between 12 and 24 degrees C, with an optimal infection temperature between 12 and 20 degrees C. And that's real important for our preventative fungicide recommendations. Currently, we are recommending that they apply preventative fungicide control products in the spring when soil temperatures warm to 12 degrees C, and they continue until it eventually gets hotter than 24 degrees C. Creeping bentgrass root depth was not adversely affected prior to initiation of the heat treatment, and Pythium volutum infections adversely affected creeping bentgrass root growth and survival after 4 weeks at 32 degrees C, which seems to be the reason for pathogenicity. However, we do need to look at some more temperatures to actually find the hottest temperature for infection, and we are currently looking at 28 and 32 degrees C to iron out our infection temperature range. And with that, I'd like to make a few acknowledgments, especially my advisor, Dr. Lane Treadway, and then somebody who's sitting in the room, Joe Roberts, who helped me a lot with this project. And if there's time, I'd like any questions. And thank you very much.
We have time for a couple questions.
Yes. Soil temperature was measured with a 7-centimeter probe that we basically stuck into the container all the way down, so up to down to 7 centimeters. We're recommending just like a 2-inch soil temperature depth. Yes, ma'am. The question is, if we looked at it on other cultivars, and yes, we have. A1 and A4 seem to be moderately susceptible to it. The most resistant appears to be Crenshaw, and then the new variety, SIN96, but that's very tentative data. We only have one replication of that. We're repeating that as we speak. The most the most susceptible tends to be Pencross and G6.
We still have options.
Maria. The question is, are we seeing them on older greens? And yes, we have seen them on even push-up greens. It just tends to be 90 to 95% of them are on newer greens. So it very well could be the disease.
That's all we have.
Okay, thank you very much.